Well, you remember my name as well. That's great. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know me, yes, my name's Berno. Most of the week I do youth work, so work with young people. And if you know want to know more about what that means, talk to Megan, because she used to be one of those young people. Sorry, Megan, put you on the spot there. And then I also work with Hannah over there. Hannah with the nice hair. So you can find out from her as well. That's about me. I also have a couple of children, Heidi and Lara, 5 and 7 years old, I think. That's how old they were last time I saw them. And Lucy, but they're at home this morning because I've been here at 8 o'clock and come straight through till today. So it's really nice to see you all. I don't get to be here that often, do I? So it's really great to see you. Anyway, this morning we're looking at this message that Paul is talking to the Thessalonian church. And I just want to go back to the introduction to 1 Thessalonians. There's a little bit there just to kind of highlight what today is about. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes as his introduction to the Thessalonians, "We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." And this morning, I want us to focus particularly on this endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's my aim. At some point, there's going to be a bit of audience participation, shall we say. There's going to be a bit of interaction. And you might have noticed that there wasn't the usual discussion slot that Joe likes to bring in. That's because we've snuck it in somewhere else. So be prepared. I can feel the excitement. Brilliant. Okay, so in our passage this morning, so 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, Paul is addressing a specific issue to the Thessalonian church that he's not talked to them about yet. They were concerned about people who have died. They were Christians, they've died, and there's this real anticipation that we're in the end times. Jesus is going to be coming at any moment, but these people have died, so they're going to miss the coming of Christ. And Paul's saying, it's okay, don't worry, they're not going to miss it, actually. They will be part of that process. Now, this was written about 2,000 years ago, and I think since then, we don't share that same concern anymore. I think we are pretty self-assured that even if people have died before Christ has come, his second coming, they too will be part of that. So I'm not going to focus on that this morning. However, something that the Thessalonians do have in common with what we're experiencing today as well is the culture around us. And so Paul says here that, let me get the right bit. So he says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And he says, this bit before that, he says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. And he's talking about the people, the other people in the culture who are not Christians, who are not in Christ. And it's that thing of they have no hope. What hope do they have after death? And it's the same within our culture as well, isn't it? I think if we think about, you know, when we go to someone who's died and they've had a real strong faith, what a celebration that is. Whereas if you go to someone's funeral who's not known the Lord, it's a very different story. And it's a very, the atmosphere is very different, isn't it? And that's the thing that within our culture today as well, there's these similarities in what people worshipped back then, back in the Thessalonian times, and what people worship today who do not know Jesus. So in Thessalonica, one of these big religious cults that existed was the cult of Dionysius. Ever heard of that? Dionysius? Or I think his other name was Bacchus, that's my Afrikaans pronunciation, but it's a cult or it's a religious group where they pretty much indulge in the pleasures of life. So Dionysus was the god of wine, and of harvest. Harvest is always a big thing in these pantheons of gods, and pleasure seeking. And although today people don't worship these gods anymore, the material worldview, people who don't know God and they try and make sense of the world and they just look at life as very material. It's just what you see is what you get. There's no spiritual side to life. The hope that they try and seek in that is also through pursuing the pleasures of life. And although that seems fulfilling in the moment, actually there's very little purpose and direction in that. And this is what we have in common today with the people around us who don't know God. And I see this particularly in the young people that I work with. They really are looking for purpose, and they're trying to find love and belonging. And the only place they seem to think they can get that is through pursuing the pleasures of life. And it's really interesting having those conversations with him as a Christian and saying, actually, there's a very different aspect to life that you are not aware of. And majority of the families that live within Swanage and the backgrounds that the young people come from, they do not come from a household of faith. And so they don't have that same understanding of hope as I do when I talk to them. So I try and bring that hope into their lives when I interact with them and try and bring that. But it's quite a challenge, because for some of us, we've grown up in the Christian faith and we know it really well. And so we can use shortcuts, and Paul does the same. He uses a shortcut here to explain what that hope is. He says, the hope is we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So that's a very short summary of this hope that we have. Now, most of us here have that hope in us, and this is our moment of actually sharing with each other that hope. So if we can have the first slide on there, Mike, or first question, I would like us to talk with each other about this hope that we've discovered in Christ. So we're going to spend a few minutes doing that. So find someone next to you. And if you feel very capable, turn around and find someone behind you and share. So we're going to spend a couple of minutes just sharing with each other. How have you discovered hope in Christ? Off you go. Right. Now that you've warmed yourself up, I've got another question I would like us to talk about. So you've just talked about the hope you have yourself. But what about the people we are in contact with who does not have that same hope? How would you explain that hope to someone outside of that? That's your next challenge. Share with each other. I'm not looking for a specific way, but just your own personal way of how you have done that in the past or how you would do it. Off you go. So it certainly, I think, is quite a challenge in our culture today. And one of the things that came up was how you try and express your faith in some way and try and share that hope, but there can be people who find that offensive, or they try and stop you. And it can be really hard sometimes, because what a beautiful hope we have, and we want to share that with everyone else, but it's not always very easy. And sometimes we don't even know what to say, do we? How do we talk to someone? We've got this great message of hope, not just that we've heard, but that we're living out. How can we do that? It's really challenging, isn't it? Really, really challenging. And I think looking at Paul, he gives a very short message here of what that hope is. Jesus died and he rose again. And that's a bit short right here in this passage. But in Romans, for instance, he introduces the book of Romans. He starts with a short introduction of what that hope is. I'll read that for you. So Romans 1, verses 1 to 6. Paul says, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. So an apostle is someone who's got a message, sent out to give that message. And gospel is short for the good news that comes with Jesus, the hope that we have in Jesus. So the gospel is promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So that is kind of the introduction that Paul gives in Romans. And then the rest of Romans is unpacking that introduction. So if you want to have a really good, deep understanding of this wonderful hope that we've got, dig into Romans. And he does that in other bits as well. And he's, as we can see, he looks at Scripture. When he talks about Scripture, he talks about the Old Testament. New Testament wasn't written yet at the time. He was still busy doing it among other people as well. But it's how this story of hope that we've got has started right at the beginning, and it's written and is woven throughout the Old Testament. And we've got this picture of hope that is coming to release the world from the evil that is oppressing it, ultimately. And that oppression we see in death. Death is this last enemy that humanity faces, and Christ has overcome that. There is no fear in death. Again, that's one of Paul's lines. There's no fear in death. Yes, the loss of someone that we love is hard because there's someone missing, but it's not a permanent missingness. We will be reunited with people. And again, this is where Paul, when he finishes, or just the last bit of our passage today, he reminds people of that. And he says here that, you know, therefore, encourage each other with these words in chapter 18 of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4. Encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with the hope that we've got. And so this was part of this morning, sharing the hope that we've got with each other. It's very encouraging to hear that. It's very encouraging to be connected with people who we can share that hope with in a world that doesn't believe. But it also means that that hope then is able to go out to the people that we are in touch with and that we encounter. And we can ask God for wisdom in sharing that hope. There's not necessarily a specific way to do it, but it is that thing of being submissive to God and saying, God, I am your servant and I want to share people this wonderful hope that we've got. And so to finish off in this last bit of chapter 4, verse 17, Paul then talks about how when Jesus returns, he uses this picture that in ancient times when the Caesar, when he went off to battle and he conquered a place, and he came back to the city and he was victorious, people would run out as he's coming. People would run out to meet the victorious king who's come and defeated the battle and then walk with him, this whole parade and the ceremony back into the city. And so in the same way, Paul uses this imagery of when Jesus returns, those who have died in him will go up and meet him. And there's this victorious parade that's coming. Christ has come. Christ is victorious and he has overcome, and we meet our Lord and our King as he comes to bring salvation to the world, to set the world free and finish the job that he started to do. And that is our message of hope that we can encourage each other with. And keep on encouraging each other in that. But also that is a message of hope that we can bring to the people out there who we know are struggling and don't know God. So I will finish with a prayer and we'll move on to the next part of our service. Jesus, as we've heard your words as well from the Gospel of John this morning, that you are the resurrection and the life, and that all who believes in you will not die but will have life. We thank you that we can share in that. We thank you that we can experience that right now. And I pray as we carry on into our lives and as we interact with people who might not know you, that we can share that with them, that we can, through our own lives, show to them that we are filled with the life that you have given us, and that they too can have that and can be filled with hope. And I pray that you will help us to, as Paul writes to the Thessalonians, to endure in that hope, that we can carry on and that we can encourage each other with the hope that we have in you. Amen.